Mr. Speaker.
Order, order.
Mr. Speaker, this government has a plan for housing that is working.
Building and Housing Minister Nick Smith, the man with the plan. But is it a comprehensive plan? Among questions for him was this one from the New Zealand First Party's housing spokesman, Dennis O'Rourke.
Does he stand by the Prime Minister's statement yesterday that the government has a comprehensive housing strategy for New Zealand?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Dr. Nick Smith.
Oh, absolutely. This government has underway the most comprehensive program of housing reform, covering social housing, covering the planning issues, covering emergency housing, covering the quality of our older housing as well as our new.
Nick Smith's Prime Minister was soon able to stand by his own statements when responding to this question from Opposition Leader Andrew Little.
Does he stand by his statement that he has a comprehensive housing plan, given the continued decline in home ownership and a rapid rise in house prices?
Are you right, Honourable Prime Minister?
Mr. Speaker, yes, and here's why. The government's comprehensive housing plan includes our social housing build, our emergency housing program, special housing areas, the authorities for areas of high housing need. By any definition, this is a very comprehensive housing plan.
Just to be sure about the comprehensive nature of the government's housing plan, Mr. Key's chief whip, Tim McIndoe, had this question for his Prime Minister.
So to the Prime Minister, how is the government's comprehensive housing plan translating into more houses being built around New Zealand where they are most needed?
The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Speaker. Mr. Speaker, there are many signs that the government's comprehensive housing plan is delivering more houses. For example, we're now in the middle of the biggest housing boom New Zealand has seen.
From the chamber now to the committee rooms with Rhys Lyon.
A major reworking of the country's social security laws is the aim of the Social Security Legislation Rewrite Bill, which was the subject of submissions to the Social Services Committee, including one from beneficiary advocate Theresa Homan, who voiced concern about the bill's entrenchment of current laws which target benefit-dependent solo parents.
For instance, the legislation that allows the ministry to require sole parents to prepare for work is being exploited by the ministry to hound solo mothers, especially with fronting up to work and income under the guise of this legislation to put pressure on them to get a job. Take, for instance, the recent case I heard of a sole mother with two children under three being called in to a work for you seminar and being threatened in a letter that her benefit could be stopped if she didn't go.
Ms. Homan said that wasn't an isolated case.
And when challenged, Work and Income hide behind the legislation and play what I can only describe as legislative gymnastics, justifying their actions. Please ensure this legislation affords sole parents the security this legislation is written to give.
Another submission on the bill came from Blind Association President Clive Lansink, who raised concerns about limits to financial assistance for disabled people.
For many disabled people, if they are fortunate enough to gain employment, they will cease to be eligible for the kind of assistance that is available to meet general disability costs, those ones that are not related to employment, because those fall away as soon as you start to earn some income. But this is where there can be a major disincentive for people to move into the workforce.
Blind Association President Clive Lansink speaking to the Social Services Committee. Over at the Finance and Expenditure Committee, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Jan Wright, held a briefing on the impact of rising seas and said the risks of sea level rise were threefold.
More coastal flooding, more erosion and groundwater problems. There is time to think about how to manage this. Bullet a gate is not the way to go. We need to get people to understand that the sea is rising and what this will mean.
It was something already being accounted for by insurers.
Last year, the chair of Lloyd's of London, John Nelson, came to New Zealand. When I met him, he told me that sea level rise is factored into all their policies around the world. Risk is the business of the insurance industry. They know this risk is real. Insurance, though, is about covering the unforeseen. Sea level rise is now foreseeable to a considerable extent.
Jan Wright called on Parliament to take heed of those risks.
We are an island nation. Most of our cities and towns are on the coast. Government needs to take the lead here. How should sea level rise be factored into decisions about infrastructure? and who should pay for what.
Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, Jan Wright, speaking to the Finance and Expenditure Committee.
That's a report from Rhys Lyon. I'm Tom Pruin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.